But we're going to be looking today at Hebrews chapter 11. The central idea of this is that sometimes it feels like God asks things from us that are unrealistic and even a little cruel. Have you ever had times like that when you think that sometimes God puts you through something that seems a little cruel? God, why are you doing this to me? You ever have those moments? Can I get an amen or a raising a hand? Come on, yeah, we've been there, right? We just, God, why are you doing this to me? It doesn't make sense. What we must remember is that even in those times, God has a plan to show himself faithful, a plan to show his provision for us if we choose to stay faithful, we choose to obey through faith. Life happens, doesn't it? But God has a plan in the middle of that. You know, I don't like tests. I'm probably like you guys. I don't know really of anybody that likes tests, to be perfectly honest with you. Doing some master's classes, and there are quizzes that they do. And I'll tell you what, I get nervous wrecked just over quizzes, okay? Professor, you have no idea what he's necessarily going to be quizzing on, and then you open it up, and okay, in 250 words or less, tell me blah, 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 whatever it is. You're like, oh my goodness, okay. And so you got to write the whole thing down, and you hope you know what the professor wants, but you're really not sure, are you? Sometimes you just, well, I'm just going to give it my best shot. And then, of course, you're anxiously waiting. How did I do on the test? How do I compare to the other students? All these different things. Am I going to pass the class? Right? You ever had those times when you're testing out, and you're just, man. Remember when I was in undergraduate school there in Grace University in Omaha? Some of those professors, wow, I don't know what was wrong with those guys. Like waking up on the wrong side of bed every morning and taking down their class, and their tests were ridiculous. There was this one class that we had this guy. Most of the class was interaction between other students. So he would ask a question, and then you as a table had to come up with the answer for the question, right? And then it was just open class discussion. So his first time as a professor, he was just adjunct. He wasn't a full-time professor. And so then, of course, what do you test on? Because every table comes up with their own answers. Now, that was a fun class because there really isn't a wrong answer, right? Every student got an A because, hey, as long as you answered the question, you were right. And that was a really weird one. He did not get good reviews from the students. In fact, he changed completely the last half of the semester. But that's okay. It was a good class nonetheless. All right. Today we're going to be looking at a test that Abraham had. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at a test that Abraham went through. Before we start, we're going to open up with a word of prayer, though, before we get diving into this. God, we're going to read your word today. And God, you sent your word to us for life change. And as we study this test that Abraham went through, I pray that today we would have a moment of life change. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. There was a test. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now that seems like kind of a weird Bible verse, doesn't it? Does anyone wonder, what in the world does that mean? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Well, some of us know the story, some of us don't. And we're going to flip back to Genesis. We're going to read that story, page 19 there in the Pew Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we have this story of tests. We have the complete story here, beginning in verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 22. This talks about the tests. This gives more detail on what's going on in Hebrews chapter 11. After these sayings, God, again, you see the word test here, God tested Abraham. Said to him, Abraham! And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I'm going to stop right there. Can I say for just a moment, if I was Abraham, I might be saying, okay, now wait a minute. Where is this voice coming from? Right? Is this the right number? Am I on candid camera? You know, the old Bill Cosby Noah story? I'd be asking that at this very moment. What do you mean? You want me to take my son, my only son, and you want me to offer him up as a burnt offering? Now, what does that mean, a burnt offering? Well, it's literally what it means. He wanted him to kill Isaac upon an altar and offer him up as a burnt offering to God. Now, that's a test, isn't it? That's a test that seems unrealistic, that seems cruel. And think about that for just a moment from the life of Abraham. I mean, this was a time when sacrifices were made to God. This was a time when they did this on a regular basis. They offered sacrifices to God. That was not unusual. But God is not a God of human sacrifices. These sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs. But this one time in Scripture, we see where God said to Abraham, said, I want you to take your son. I don't want you to offer your son up as a sacrifice to me. Now that should make us sober up for just a little bit as we begin this. We should begin thinking, wow, what in the world is going on here? Sometimes in our life, in our own lives, or in the life that we live, we're going to have those moments where we're going to think, God, what in the world are you doing? This doesn't make sense. This doesn't fit what I think I know about you and your character. This doesn't make sense to me. Abraham had a test. And think about what Isaac was. When you think about the promises in Genesis chapter 12, back up a few chapters, there are promises that God made Abraham. Promises of land, promises of descendants, promises of blessing. Now, what are the purpose of all three of those promises if Isaac is slain, if Isaac is killed, if Isaac is offered up as sacrifice? He no longer has descendants to give the land to that he had. He no longer has descendants to be the blessing that God had promised him. None of those blessings would work if he offered up Isaac. He said, then, God, how can you do this? You promised me this son so that all these things would come to fruition, and now you want me to kill my own son and give him back to you. Why are you doing that? How does Abraham respond? Verse 3, Genesis chapter 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. That verse 3 just blows my mind. So Abraham arose early. He got up early. This wasn't something he was putting off. Man, you talk about procrastination. I'll be doing some procrastination on this thing, right? I mean, we understand how it is. If there's something you don't want to do, you wait till the very last minute sometimes to do it. Abraham, what did he get up early? So let's get this thing over with. Let's go. What's God going to do? I'm ready. God's going to do something. Hebrews chapter 11, we see a glimpse of that when it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. Abraham had faith that God was going to do something. And he got up early. Early in anticipation of that, and took off on this journey knowing that God was going to do something. And you see that clear throughout the conversation when he says to the young men, stay here with the donkey, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. It wasn't just himself that he thought was going to come back. He thought Isaac was literally going to come back. He said, when Isaac says, where's the offering? And God says, and Abraham says, well, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. He said, God's going to provide. I don't know what yet, but God's going to provide, but I am going to obey. I am going to do what God wants me to do. In your outline there, we see the faith of Abraham revealed. His test was revealed there in verses 1 and 2. The test, well, take your son and sacrifice him to me. That's a test. But now you see the faith, the response of Abraham, the faith of Abraham was revealed through the test. In our lives, our faith is not revealed sometimes until we go through a test. Right? Until we go through a test, we don't really know how we're going to handle situations. We don't know how we're going to respond to God. We want life to be easy, but it's not, because God says, I'm going to test you. How strong is your faith? I'm going to put you through a test. It's interesting. You know, my wife was a teacher for 4 years at a Christian school. She homeschools now. We test our kids, right? And if you've ever been a teacher, you've ever been around kids, sometimes they take a test and they think, well, man, I don't know the answers to this. In anticipation of that, well, we're going to have a test tomorrow on sections, whatever it is. And the students are like, well, I don't know the answers to that. Well, we're going to take the test and we're going to find out, right? It's amazing how many of the students, they think that they can't handle it. But at the end of it, they did much better than they ever thought they would. And the teacher looks at them and says, see, I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. And sometimes God tests us like that, because not that he doesn't know what the answer is going to be, it's because we don't necessarily know that we know. Okay, follow me on that one. We don't know that we know what the answer is going to be. And he shows us sometimes through our tests that we do indeed have faith in him. Abraham was tested. Abraham's faith stood strong. And I love in Hebrews chapter 11 where it says that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He believed that if I go up there and I slay this son, the son whom all the promises have been given to me through this son, because of my son, if I do this one act, then God can raise him from the dead, and I believe that can happen. Now that is faith. Because nothing like that had ever happened before in the scriptures, and yet Abraham believed that God could do it. And in our lives, we see things, we have faith that God can do it, but do we really believe it? Do we really deep down believe it? We sang this song today, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in those people, but do we really believe they're real and true? Do we believe that they have an impact on our lives today? As we live our lives, do you understand the Holy Spirit is residing within you, giving you power? Do you understand that? And we say, I don't have the power to do those things. Yes, you do. It's within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. We have the power. And so what does the test do? Finally, the test reveals our character. Abraham's character was revealed in the test. Verses 9 through 14, when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Abraham was willing to do this as far as God took him. His character was revealed in this moment. That faith that Abraham had, the faith revealed, the faith caused him to do those things. And then Abraham's character was so much that God, I'm going to obey you no matter what it costs me. I'm going to obey you no matter what it costs. That is the character of Abraham. All because of faith. God did provide. God gave him another sacrifice to offer. God called him to do it. Abraham obeyed, and God provided. In our lives, we sometimes go through tests. We're flying through this message today a little bit. It feels like we're flying through it, but we kind of need to a little bit here. As we think about this is a story that I just briefly recap for you. You think, all right, Pastor, it's a great story, but so what? How does that affect our lives? You have this man who was told to offer a burnt offering. We don't have burnt offerings anymore to God. God's not going to come to me and say that. Offer your son up as a sacrifice. So how does this apply to me? Well, when we think about Isaac being his son, the son that he's going to pass on everything to, the son that was this promise of God, that was really a sign of God's provision for him. When we think about what that cost Abraham, there are times in our lives that we go through some tests. There's another man in the Bible who was tested as well. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, there in your scriptures, page 1046. In Mark chapter 10, you're going to read a story of another man who was tested and came up a little bit lacking. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said, Well, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. Disheartened by this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this is an interesting Bible passage. What exactly is that teaching us? Young man comes up to Jesus and says, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, Why are you calling me good? Only God is good. In other words, Jesus asked, Do you really think that I'm God? Or are you calling me good just because you're trying to get on my good side? Really, right? Only God is good. So am I God or am I not God? Which one is it? He's making the rich young ruler identify that. Which one do you really think I am? Jesus says, well, no one, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. This was a man who knew what it took to get in the grace of God. He knew what it took to follow God's commands. And so Jesus said, you know what the Old Testament teaches. That's follow the Ten Commandments. You know that. And the man's, well, I've done all of that, right? When you have somebody come to you and they said they've kept all the commandments perfectly, what do you immediately sense? Well, there may be a little bit of pride going on here, right? Are you sure you've done that? And so Jesus tests him. Because to love your neighbor as yourself is one of the commandments, right? Jesus says that. When he summarizes the Ten Commandments, he summarizes all 10 of them and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. A summary of the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus, he says this. He says, one thing you lack. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What's he asking there? He says, what do you really believe in? Do you believe in God, or do you believe in your possessions? Where is your faith? Do you believe in God or do you believe in your possessions? And the rich young man, what did he do? He was disheartened by the saying and he turned and walked away. He did not want to put that much faith in God that he'd be willing to sell everything and trust God to provide. Abraham was willing to trust God so much that he was willing to give up everything knowing that God would provide. In our lives today, if God comes to us and says, you know what, I want you to give up something and watch me provide, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? And it's hard. It's hard. I mean, let's be honest here. Let's be real for just a moment. When we think about our lives, what's the one thing that we have in common with rich young ruler? Well, compared to the world today, when you compare America, the average citizen of America, to the rest of the world today, we are wealthy beyond belief. My brother-in-law went down to Haiti. He was down there for a week or so working on an orphanage down there, a church building actually. There, the men earned about a dollar a day. That's what they earned. What would your life be like if you earned a dollar a day? We are wealthy beyond belief. And sometimes God comes to us and says, hey, you have a little bit extra. Why don't you give that? And sometimes we say, no, I kind of like this. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes we go through tests just like the rich young ruler, where God says, are you willing to give up just a little bit of something and trust in me to provide? Are you willing to do that? You know, when you think about even just the topic of money, for example, did you know the scripture references money over 2,300 times? Scripture references money. Now, just to let you think about this for a moment, that's more than faith and prayer combined. That is more passages on money than on passages on faith and passages on prayer. Now that should blow us away for just a little bit. Because isn't the Bible all about our relationship with God? All about our faith? All about talking to God? Isn't that what the Bible's about? Yes, but it's also about other things as well. I think that God knows, I don't just think it, I know that God knows that we have a problem. And sometimes he likes pushing those problems. He likes testing us. Abraham was attached to his son Isaac, and he tested Abraham, and Abraham passed. The rich young man was attached to his money, and God tested him, and he didn't pass. In our lives today, what are you attached to? And even staying on that topic of money for just a moment, if God came to you and said, you know what, there's somebody in need. There's an organization in need. There's something like that. And I'm not saying this because of Grace Church. If you look at the bulletin, you understand that we are doing well financially. We are not hurting. So I'm not up here preaching a sermon to get you guys to give to Grace Church. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to examine your heart so that you can see if God tests you in this area, what are you going to do? If God tests you in whatever area it is, whether it's time, money, resources, whatever you have, what are you going to do? If God comes to you and says, there's a missionary in town, he needs a vehicle, will you give your best vehicle for the missionary to borrow? Or will you give the one that you don't ever use? If God tests you, what are you going to do? Because our tests reveal our faith and our tests reveal our character. And at Grace Church, I want us to have a character like Abraham who by faith, trusting God to give back to him everything that he took, by faith, Abraham acted. And I pray that in our lives, we will do that very same thing. God, we come to you today and we know that you have given us. You've given us tests in the past, and sometimes those tests we have failed at miserably. Other times, Lord, through your grace and your strength, we have done well. But our tests are never over. And Lord, I know there's going to be times in our life you're going to come to us and you're going to say, here's another moment. What will you give up for me? Lord, I pray that we would respond just like Abraham did. That we'd rise up early and that we would do what you have asked us to do. Father, I praise you for this lesson. Even though it's a hard one, I praise you for these lessons that you give us. For these life stories we can apply to our lives. As we do this in our lives, Lord, I pray that you continue to give us the grace and strength that we need to choose you over what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.